usually people say we left off the following, the previous week. So I'm not exactly sure what we left off with, but approximately we left off with as follows. So apparently we had mentioned a little bit about the issues of keeping the Torah of Pesach strong. So one of the issues that comes up, as we spoke a little bit about, was the fact that Torah of Pesach has to be able to withstand the Ruach Metzuya. Just like a regular mechitza has to be able to stand a normal wind, so Torah of Pesach can't sway in the wind. So we mentioned, there's a machlokes is a poskim, just how sturdy does the Torah of Pesach have to be. So according to some, a mechitza has to be able to withstand the Ruach Metzuya, means it can't even move in the wind, it can't even sway in the wind. If so, a Torah of Pesach has to be very, very sturdy in order to avoid the wind. That was one of the main claims that the Mishkan Yaakov had against many of our Torah of Pesachs. Where we put up poles and wires and strings, everything just blows in the wind anyway. So the Mishkan Yaakov had serious reservations about our Torah of Pesach based on that. So we mentioned in the last year that a couple of different limbut chuses for our Torah of Pesachs that are not as sturdy as we would perhaps want them to be. According to the Matzis HaShekel, as long as the poles of the Torah of Pesach are sturdy, so that's sufficient to be called the Cholam of Ruach Metzuya. According to the Chazanish, even if it's not a question of the poles versus the top, but rather it's a question of, is the mechitza can actually fall down. According to the Chazanish, when you have a mechitza, which is Yechol Olamot, even though it's not it's not going to stay in one place, it's not going to fall down, that's called Yechol Olamot Ruach Metzuya, as we said, we spoke about the canvas sukkahs, based on the cool of the Chazanish. So again, we have three different opinions in the poskim, how to view the Torah of Pesach that are on the move. So according to Mishkan Yaakov, they're all possible. All the Torah of Pesach is basically no good, because it's almost impossible to get a Torah of Pesach to really stay in place unless you put like a solid wood bar on top, which some places have. But for most people, most communities that are building Torah of Pesach with wires and strings, that's going to be very difficult. And the two limud chusas are either that as long as the poles on the side are intact, that's all right. Or the other limud chus is that as long as the Torah of Pesach isn't falling down the wind, that's going to be okay, even though it's going to move. But then there's a related topic that I guess we didn't speak about. That's another potential problem you have when the Torah of Pesach isn't very, very strong. And that becomes the shape of the wire. So we always know that a regular Torah of Pesach is a Kohen Mikan, and a Kohen Agabeyan. The wire has to be on top of the two poles. If the Torah of Pesach isn't that strong, if the wire isn't so tight, what's going to happen is the wire is going to begin to dip, and the wire is going to begin to sag. And the question is, does that pose a problem? So when you have a Kohen Mikan, it's a Kohen Agabeyan, but part of the Kohen Agabeyan starts to sag a little bit beneath the point of the top of the two poles. Does that pose a problem or not? So the Mishkan Yaakov says that's also a problem. He was not the biggest fan, as we said last night. He may have been a fan of lettuce, but he wasn't a big fan of the Erevin. So the Mishkan Yaakov says that when the wire is not absolutely 100% tight, not only is it going to be a problem because it's moving, and therefore it's Eni Cholam Bruch Matsuya, but just the mere fact that it's sagging beneath the top level of the poles is also problematic. Why exactly is that problematic? Well, let's say that in the Gemara, that's a problem. It's hard to find Gemara's about Torah of Pesach. There's only one Amud about Rule of Torah of Pesach, so you don't have every single detail of the Gemara, so you have to look in between the lines of the Gemara for this problem. So comes the Mishkan Yaakov and says he thinks there are two problems with a wire that's sagging. So number one, it's that it's not like a band. The halacha is that the Gemara says that a Torah of Pesach has to be on Gabeyan and not Minatzad. And we assume la locha that Minatzad means that when the wire is not on top, the wire is on the side. So if you have like a football post here and here, you have a wire on the side, we assume that's no good. We said when we originally introduced this halacha, we said that even the Rishonim who seem to say that Torah of Pesach Minatzad means something different, even they agree this is a problem. So everybody agrees that Shulchan Aruch for sure paskin that that's a problem. Whenever the wire is not on top, it's on the side, that's a problem. So it says in Mishkan Yaakov, might have to be whether the entire wire is not on top or whether part of the wire is not on top. So when you have a Kohen Mikan and a Kohen Mikan and a Kohen Agabeyan, so even though you put the wire on top over here, but if a few inches in, it starts to dip, it starts to sag. So at this point, it's no longer a gaban. So at this point, it's minatzad. So everything that's at this point, you have to cut out. It's kibad nalesa. So you have to make believe that everything that dips beneath the top of the kana a gaban is no good. Whatever dips below is no longer a gaban. So dalmeach, you have to make believe that part doesn't exist. Then it continues. Then once it reaches the top again, so it's back at Agabehen, you had a block of 10 feet that wasn't Agabehen. So you have a cut wire. That's 10 to melt down. Somebody cut your wire. You know, we know about those people who come and cut airfin wires. Here, the halacha snipped the wire according to Mishkas Yaakov, because everything that's dipped below the top of the pole is considered to be no longer Agabehen. It's been outside, therefore the whole air is no good. That was one consideration. So one could argue with that premise. One could say, that's not called Min HaTzad. Min HaTzad means when the entire wire is Min HaTzad, but here the wire is basically Agabehen. It just takes a little bit of a dip in the middle. Who says that's called Min HaTzad? Not clear that that's called Min HaTzad. So Mishkas Yaakov doesn't give up. He anticipated that people are going to reject this Chumrah. He says, no, I'll explain to you another reason why my Chumrah is correct. So comes to Mishkas Yaakov and says, to the Ferish Gemara. Ferish Gemara. Can't be any perfection. There's not that much Gemara about Tzitzit Pesach. So he says, no, if you have to look really, really carefully in the sugya of Tzitzit Pesach, there is a Gemara that sheds light upon the Shaila. So in order to understand this next raya of the Mishkas Yaakov, we have to take a step back to discuss a Shaila that appears in the Gemara about Tzitzit Pesach. But believe it or not, it's not about Tzitzit Pesach, the Erevin. The Gemara discusses a Shaila about Tzitzit Pesach and Hukos Mezuzah. What is my Inyan mezuzah to Erevin? It's a tremendous Inyan. It's the same sugya. The Gemara says beferish that the standards of Tzitzit HaPesach are the same for doorway to become chayav in mezuzah, as well as for a doorway to be valid for Tzitzit HaPesach because Erevin is the same halacha. This is a Pesach and that's a Pesach. So the Gemara jumps from one to another. The Gemara in Erevin and the Gemara Menachas derives halachas from Erevin to Mezuzah, Mezuzah to Erevin. It's all one big sugya. Whatever defines a Pesach, one area of Halacha defines a Pesach for another area of Halacha. That's in fact the famous question of the Rambam, Menuchas Mezuzah. The Rambam paskins that you only chayev in Mezuzah if you have a door. The Rambam says if you have a room without a door, so then there's no chayev in Mezuzah at all. In Shulchan Aruch, we're machmer against the Rambam. We pass against the Sveik of the Dina, and therefore our minig is, whenever you have a door without a door, we put up mezuzahs misafin. So you wouldn't make a bracha. Let's say if a person, if you're putting up 20 mezuzahs in your whole house, so you aim to put up one mezuzah with a door, so that you make a bracha on that, and that patas all the other mezuzahs. But lo yitzui that you're only putting up one new mezuzah on the doorway without a door, so in deference to the Rambam, we put it up in deference to the other Rishonim, in deference to the Rambam, we don't recite a bracha. So the Rishonim asked Akash and the Rambam, they sent a letter to the Rambam, the Chachmei Lunil, a group of Rishonim in Provence, who used to learn the Rambam's words, and they used to send them shailas. So the Chachamim from Provence sent a question to the Rambam, how can it be, the Rambam says, that you only chayev in mezuzah if you have a door, says, if the Gemara says that the dinim of Erevin and the dinim of mezuzah are the same, when it comes to Erevin, you don't need a door. The Gemara says that you make a Tzitzit HaPesach, there's no door there, you have one pole, you have a doorway. And the Gemara says the Feirish that a Tzitzit HaPesach doesn't require a door. So according to the Rambam, who says that mezuzah requires a door, and Tzitzit HaPesach does require a door, so how could the Gemara say that the dinim are the same? That's the kasha that the Rishonim already asked at the Rambam. So the Rambam sent an answer. We have quoted the Tshuvas at Rambam, and the Rambam explains himself. The Rambam says that just because the Gemara learns out some dinim of mezuzah from Erevin and back and forth doesn't mean they're the exact the same. He said the halacha is that a Tzitzit HaPesach kishmei kenu. It has to be a Pesach. It has to be a doorway. So a Pesach doesn't have the connotation of having a door. There are certain halachas that define a Pesach. It's got to be 10 tefachim tall. It's got to be 4 tefachim wide. It's got to be straight. Whatever the details are, what's called a Pesach. And then a mezuzah has to be a Pesach, but it has to be a Pesach plus. In order to be a chayav mezuzah, it's not enough just to be a Pesach. It has to be a higher level of Pesach. It has to be what's called the Sha'ar. The Torah says, "Uchsavto mezuzah b'secha v'sharecha." So the Rambam says that v'sharecha is not a separate mechayev. The Gemara Menachos says that you have to put up mezuzahs in your houses, and you have to put mezuzahs in the gates of the city. Even though I'm not literally living in the street, I'm living in a house. So the Gemara is a chiddush that you have to put up mezuzahs b'secha on your house, and it'll be sharecha also on your gate. That's why there are mezuzahs on all the gates of the old city. The gates of walled cities require mezuzahs as well, because b'sharecha is a separate mechayev. So the Rambam says that b'sharecha not only means there's a separate mechayev in terms of sha'arim, but sha'arim defines batim as well. The Rambam is a chiddush that the only type of a doorway of a house that's chayev in mezuzah is only if it's dumya to a sha'ar. So what is a sha'ar? You would never think of, imagine making a gate of a city without a door. That would be a pretty inefficient gate. And the whole point of a gate means to lock it up. You have to close people out. So in your house, sometimes you have rooms in your house that have doors, some don't have doors. It's inside, so sometimes you have a doorway, but no. anything per se. Ready? Okay. Everyone knows you have archways in the middle of your house without necessarily having doors. So most of the Rishonim say, it's Beisecha. Where does it say it has to be a door? Beisecha. It has to be a bayis. It has to be a Tzurse Pesach. A doorway without a door is called a Tzurse Pesach. And the Rambam says, no, that the word of Yisharecha modifies, it qualifies the definition of bayis, that only a doorway in a house that's dubia to a shahar is chayav and mezuzah. So the Rambam says that the technicalities of how big a Pesach has to be and the size and the shape of a Tzurse Pesach, those didn't all learned out one from the other, mezuzah from Erevin. But this second condition, that has to be a shahar, that's exerts a cause of Vinuchas mezuzah. It's not brisket Rambam a little bit. It's Chibus Rambam. It's a brisket Rambam. There are two dinim. There's dinim for Pesach, there's dinim for shahar. Erevin is a function of a Pesach, mezuzah is a function of a Pesach plus, has to meet the criteria of a shahar. So, go part of Bainlefi around, Bainlefi of the Rishonim, the Gemara compares some of the dinim of Tzurus HaPesach for Mezuzah and Tzurus HaPesach for Hilchos Erevin. That's the Chazon Ish has a question. The Chazon Ish says that based on what the Gemara says, that all the dinim are the same. So, the Chazon Ish wants to know, how come we don't have Mezuzahs on our Tzurus HaPesach? He says, we have a lot of Tzurus HaPesachs all around town. So, why don't we have Mezuzahs on them? So, according to the Rambam, who says that you need a din of a shahar, so then they understand, so they don't have doors. But we don't pass like the Rambam. Mikra din shukhnafi pass like Rabbi Rishonim, that a regular doorway, even without a shahar component, without a shahar criteria, is chayav. So says the Chazon Ish, we have Tzurus HaPesach on Sussex, we got on Tina Kuo, we got throughout town, we got hundreds of thousands of Tzurus HaPesach. So we should walk around putting mezuzahs in each one of them. So Bishlama on us, it's not such a kasha, because the Tzurus HaPesachs of town are not just Jewish Tzurus HaPesachs. They are areas that are psachim into public streets that are used both by Jews and by Goyim. So since Goyim also have access to these streets, that's a machlekes Rishonim. If you have a house that's a shutfis between a Jew and a Goy, is it chayav mezuzah in the first place? So it's unclear from the Gemara. So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, it's chayav. If you have a Jew's chayav, the fact that he's a Goy, you have a Jew and a Goy own a house together. So they live in a house together. So according to many Rishonim, there is a chayav mezuzah. And other Rishonim say, no, there's no chayav mezuzah when you have a Jew and a Goy together. Why is that? So some Rishonim say, for technical reasons, because Chazal told you not to put up a mezuzah, you're afraid to go as if you're doing kishuf, you're doing kind of witchcraft or something. You don't want to start up with the Koch Nefesh, you don't start up with the Goyim. And other Rishonim say, no, the reason why it's potter is because it says, L'man yibu yameichem yameichem ala adamash and nishpah. That pasuk applies to Jews, doesn't apply to Goyim. We're not advocating to put up a mezuzah, so the Goyim should have L'man yibu yameichem yameichem ala adamash. We're not plotting that pasuk should be mekuyim for the Goyim. So therefore, there's no chiyuv of mezuzah when you have a bayis al shutfis. That's 2 days in Rishonim. The shayl in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a bayis al shutfis, it's a chayv mezuzah. A lot of people have the shayl. A lot of people have shared offices and shared buildings and all kinds of different kunzim. Do they have to put up mezuzahs or not? That's a shayl in the Rishonim. So Bishlam and Bergenfield and Tinek, okay, so why don't we have a Tzurus HaPesach so why don't we have mezuzah on Windsor Road and why don't we have mezuzah on Tinek Road? Because these are streets that are both Jews and Goyim. So you can argue that maybe it's potter from mezuzah. But in Bnei Brak, in Eretz Yisrael, Mishalayim, so it's all Bnei Brak, for sure all Jews. So you have the streets, you have an Erev in Bnei Brak, because Mish used to check the Erev in Bnei Brak. He didn't hold carrying it, but he used to check it, because he wanted to make sure that it met as best criteria as it could. So the Chazon Ish's Erev, and to use that phrase, but the Erev that existed in the Chazon Ish's town, we'll say that instead. So why didn't it have mezuzah? So Chazon Ish has the kasha. He says, according to what the Gemara says, that the dinim are the same, so why is there no mezuzah Erevin? So Chazon Ish thinks, and he says, the only way to explain why the notes is the best on Erevin, it must be that it's a mokum she'en mishtamer. That if you're going to put a mezuzah in a place that's going to be knocked down by people, it's going to be stolen, it's going to be animals are going to come, it's going to be... It's going to fall down, no one's going to be able to supervise it. That's potter from mezuzahs. So he says that it's really a technicality that there's no mezuzah on a Tzurus HaPesach. Really, the Ikar HaDin, you really should have one. It's just a special quirk in Hilchos Mezuzah when you have a mezuzah in such an area that's just not controllable. So then you don't put mezuzahs on. That's going to be a mezuzah for the mezuzahs. It's a chiddush gadol, and that's the only reason why there's no mezuzahs on Tzurus HaPesachs. Whatever it is, getting back to my story, the Gemara does make a comparison between Tzurus HaPesach for Erevin and Tzurus HaPesach for Mezuzah. So one of the places, or really the place where the Gemara makes this jump, is the sugya called Kippah. So the sugya of Kippah means an archway. So the Gemara is a very, very complicated sugya in the end, in Maseches Menachos, and the first Brachos, that's Erevin. about if you have a doorway that's in the shape of an archway, is there a chimazuzah or is there not a chimazuzah? What's the issue? Why should an archway, just because it's round, why should that make any difference whatsoever? So the big machlokes is that we've shown him, what's the issue even? Forgetting about the details of the dimensions of this archway, what's the difference? Whether it's an archway, not an archway, if it's a, if you walk in, it's the opening to my door, to my house, why should or should not be chayav mezuzah? So there's a machlokes Rashi and Rambam, just what's the issue that Chazal were addressing? So Rashi says that the issue is that there's a bare minimum dimensions of a Pesach. In order to qualify as a doorway, in Kol Terekula, it has to be a certain size. What is that size? So first of all, it has to be 10 Tvachim tall. If it's less than 10 Tvachim tall, that's not a Pesach. How do, where does it say that? So presumably that's the corollary of the Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that a Mechitza has to be 10 Tvachim tall. That the Gemara says Beferish. There was a Halacha Moshe Mesinai that a Mechitza for Shabbos has to be 10 Tvachim, and a Mechitza for Sukkah has to be 10 Tvachim. Question of Mechitza and Shul, also 10 Tvachim, that's highly questionable. Because the Mechitza and Shul, we call it Mechitza, it's not really a Mechitza, it's not the din of a Mechitza. You can't make a Tzuras HaPesach for a Mechitza and Shul, that would defeat the purpose. So we use the term colloquially Mechitza, but what it really means is you have to have a real separation between the men and the women. So it's 10 Tvachim enough for separation? So Moshe said no. The Moshe Paskin that the purpose of the Mechitza is to prevent people talking to each other. So the fact that the men are talking to the men, that's half a problem. The fact that the women are talking to the men, that's another problem. But that the men and the women should be talking in the middle of davening, that creates an environment of Schok B'Kalas Rosh, that's what the Halacha requires, is that's what the Gemara means in Masechet Sukkah, that was not acceptable in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, the Moshe holds that it's a Din Min HaTorah, not only in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a Din Min HaTorah in Shul also, and some say, no, it's only Min HaTorah in the Beis HaMikdash, but in Shul it's only Min HaRabbanan. Whatever it is, it's a requirement of a Mechitza, but it doesn't follow the regular rules of Uchaz Mechitza. It's the purpose is to prevent the Schok B'Kalas Rosh. That's what Moshe said, has to be tall enough to prevent a casual conversation. So how tall is that? So Moshe said, about 5 feet or so. He said, about shoulder height. It's very hard to talk to somebody over your head, Bekoshi. That would be difficult to talk. So that's enough to solve the problem of Schok B'Kalas Rosh. Others say no. Others say the purpose of the Mechitza is to prevent the men from looking at the women because they're a dinim of Histaklos during davening. So it has to be taller than that. It's got to be, it's not enough to be shoulder level. It's got to be eye level. It's got to be higher than that. So Beimah for Moshe, Beimah for the other poskim, they were not working with the regular rules of Ten Tvachim. Ten Tvachim is a din when you have a real din of it was Mechitza. So Sukkah is a Mechitza and Erev is a Mechitza. So who are the Nami? A Pesach has to be a Ten Tvachim. The Tzuris HaPesach has to be Ten Tvachim tall. So you have a little teeny opening that's less than Ten Tvachim off the ground. There's no Chiv HaMezuzah. Then there's another din, says Rashi, that there are dimensions, there's a minimum size of the width of the Pesach. What's that shear? It has to be 4 Tvachim wide. If it's less than 4 Tvachim wide, that's not considered to be a Pesach. We find this halacha in other areas as well. There are dinim of 4 Tvachim as a shear. It's a shear b'fnayatzmo, creates a shear sayoch, and we've seen the shear floating around of 4 Tvachim. We've seen the shear of 4 Am, we've seen the shear of 4 Tvachim. These are different shearim that are given l'moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rashi holds that since the bare minimum requirement of Tzuras HaPesach is that it has to be 10 Tvachim tall, it's got to be 4 Tvachim wide, and an opening that's less than those dimensions will not be Chayav Mezuzah, that's where we run into a problem of a Kippah. Because a Kippah, it starts to, by their definition, it starts to get smaller. So it may start out like this. If it starts out like this, so then it's 4 Tvachim, exactly 4 Tvachim on one end to the other. But now it starts to go up, 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 up. And now the Pesach part is getting smaller. Now when you reach the magic point of 10 Tvachim, you may not have any more 4 Tvachim wide. So you don't have that area, that box, so to speak, that rectangle of 10 Tvachim tall by 4 Tvachim wide, which is the bare minimum of what's called the Pesach in Halacha. That's the reason why there may not be a Chiyuv Mezuzah. So that's the Lomdus Shaila that the Gemara raises. Is that true? Is that not true? So the Gemara says it depends on the following. Even though the way the Mechitza is being drawn, the way the Pesach is being drawn, it's going up, 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 and now it's starting to curve. So at the critical point, if you draw your pictures, at the point of 10 Tvachim, it's already in this Smite, it's already less than 4 Tvachim wide, maybe we can say what's called Chaykin L'Hashlam. Chaykin L'Hashlam means that when you have an archway that's built into a wall, like imagine like the old city, it's built into a wall, so maybe we can make believe that we can carve out, the make-believe opening. Even though in reality, when you walk through it, you're going to reach a point where it's 10 Tvachim tall, it's not 4 Tvachim wide, since there's space to carve out. On the sides, maybe there's a special din called Chaykin L'Hashlim. So that was the Machlekes HaTanoim. Do you say that? Do you not say that? That's the source of the whole sugya. But according to Rashi, the bottom line, the root of the problem in that sugya, the root of the potential exemption from mezuzah in that sugya is the fact that it has to be 10 by 4, and when you have something that's curved, so by definition, you're going to start to be mamait on the sides. So notwithstanding the way Rashi learns the Gemara, the Rambam learns the Gemara totally different. The Rambam Ruchas Mezuzah says that the issue of a kippah is nothing to do with the size of a four tefachim. It's a tremendous archway. It's 20 feet wide. It's not a chisaron of four tefachim. The Rambam says the mere fact that it's curving is a problem. Why is that a problem? So the Rambam seems to say that Tzuras HaPesach has to be straight. It's got to be straight. When you have a curve, so that's not a Tzuras HaPesach. That's not the shape of Tzuras HaPesach. That's a Roman architecture. That's not Torah's architecture. It's got to be flat. It's got to be two sided things in the flat and one thing on top. Otherwise, if you have a curve, so where's the Tzuras HaPesach? Where's the Kanvikan? Where's the Kanagrabim? It's one continuous thing. That's not called the Tzuras HaPesach. That's the definition of Tzuras HaPesach means it's got to be straight, but something straight on top. Once it starts the curve, that's always Tzuras HaPesach. So it's a machlekes in Rishon, a complicated machlekes in Uchas Mezuzah, how to paskin in that shot. It becomes important for us because we sometimes do have arches. So the question becomes, are arches Chai Mezuzah, not Chai Mezuzah? Are they more than 10 tefachim, more than 4 tefachim? It becomes complicated how to paskin some of the arch shilas in terms of Uchas Mezuzah based on the Rashi and the Rambam. But according to the Rambam, what the Gemara is telling us as a Chiddush is that anytime you have a curve, so a curve is always Tzuras HaPesach. That's not called the Tzuras HaPesach. So comes Mishnas Yaakov with the following chiddush. He says, what's the difference whether the curve goes up, whether the curve goes down? He says, the same thing. He says, whenever you have a curve, so a curve automatically is mafkiya the shem Tzuras HaPesach. So when you have a sagging Tzuras HaPesach, that's what you have. You have a drop. So what's the difference whether it's going this direction or it's going in the other direction? That's ois Tzuras HaPesach. So says Mishkan Yaakov, that's another reason why you have to make sure Tzuras HaPesach is very, very tight. Not only because of the Tzuras HaPesach sags, it's considered to be a problem because it's dipping beneath the top of the poles. That you can argue, is that called dipping? Not called dipping. But it's more of a problem, says Mishkan Yaakov, because according to the Rambam, the whole Tzuras HaPesach is no good because it's curving. Once it's curved, it's now in a loop type of a formation rather than a straight line formation. That's not called the Tzuras HaPesach. So that's quite a chiddush. If you ask an average person looking at a Tzuras HaPesach on Tinek Road and say to him that what you're looking at is a Roman arch, so you say, an arch? I don't see any arch. No, if you look carefully, you'll see the Tzuras HaPesach sagging a little bit, so it's in a loop, it's in a curve. What's the difference between an arch and a sagging Tzuras HaPesach? I don't know if most people would have said that's the same thing, but Mishkas Yaakov said it's the same. Why am I left Kamina? It's all the same. Therefore, Quentin Ram, you're going to have a problem. How do we paskin on this shaila of the sagging Tzuras HaPesach? So many poskim weren't as concerned about the sagging Tzuras HaPesach. Many poskim said, in response to Mishkas Yaakov's first objection, that after all, it's not a gabein anymore. Many poskim, what do you mean it's not a gabein? It's called a gabein. So that's because it's dropping an inch or two in the middle. That's still called a gabein. And that's called a kippah. That's called an arch. It's called a loop, a curve, and it's no good. Nah, the whole thing is not true. So many, many poskim are making on this. Is there any amount that if it sags too far, then for sure it's no good? That's what many poskim say. If it sags beneath 10 tefachim, then it really is a different story. You got to have a pretty big sag for that. That's a high Tzuras HaPesach. So if you have a low Tzuras HaPesach, it starts out as 12 tefachim, and it's very loose, so it's sagging down, so then you can run into a problem. If part of the Tzuras HaPesach is beneath 10 tefachim, that stuff is going to be a problem. The Kohen's mind that the whole Tzuras HaPesach remains above 10 tefachim. You have a telephone pole, and the wires are dropping a little bit, it's not if it goes beneath 10 tefachim, PSCNG, someone's going to come to fix those wires. So with the way we build Erevin, we don't have to ever be worried that the wires are going to dip beneath the 10 tefachim. So if you hold like the Mishkas Yaakov, you got to tie the Erevin wires, you got to be tight as possible. If you're not so concerned with this whole dropping, sagging stuff, then you can just use regular wires, and we assume that that's going to be okay. So we see that there are a few different halachas that revolve around the strength of the wire, the tightness of the wire. There's the issue of moving Baruch Metzuya, which Mishkas Yaakov also basically passed all our Erevin based on. So we defended that based on either the Chazon Ish or based on the Machzor Shekel, different svaras to defend the not such tight Erevin wires based on that. But the second issue was the fact that it's sagging, it's not a gabein or it's a chakipa. So we're not as convinced that those are problems either. So halacha, most Erevin, we try our best to tighten the Erevin, that's true. But when you're dealing with pre-existing telephone wires or other wires, it's not be a danger to tighten them. So you have to use, if you want to use those wires, choice. You got to use what you got. So most Erevin are not as super duper duper machmir that the wire should be absolutely so tight that it shouldn't be able to budge or it shouldn't sag a little bit. There is another discussion in the Gemara itself about the strength of the Tzuras HaPesach. Here the Gemara discusses not so much in terms of the wire, but this is more in terms of the poles of the Kanam Minatzad for the following reason. That the whole idea of a Tzuras HaPesach, Kishmai Kenu, is supposed to be able to hold up a door. Now, you don't have to literally have a door, but it has to have the ability to hold up a door. That's the whole point of a Tzuras HaPesach. So how realistic must it be to a door frame? How close to holding up a door must it be? So Gemara quotes one opinion that says that it's not really enough to have just two poles and a wire on top. You need what's called Heker Tzir. You have to have a place for where the door would actually go. In the olden days, so they didn't have like hinges like we have the door on the sides. They'd have a hole in the bottom or something. The door would be placed and it would be more like a swinging kind of a door. So the Gemara says that whenever you build a Tzir, basically you have to have a Heker Tzir. Because otherwise, where's the door going to go? Now again, it's a little bit of a fake. No one's putting a door there. If we'd have a door, then we'd be home free. But no one's going to put a door there, but you have to have as close as possible the ability to have a door there. So let's say the modern day equivalent would be, you have to have hinges. You don't have to have a door there, but you have to have hinges. So that would be an unbelievable chumrah. Every Tzuras HaPesach that you have has to have hinges on the, you're going to walk around, go explain to the telephone company, we got to start knocking hinges in on each of the poles. So that's one day in the Gemara. And the other day in the Gemara says, no, Tzuras HaPesach ain't tzar heketzir. It doesn't require heketzir. How do we paskin the halacha? It's not clear from the Gemara how we paskin. So the Rishonim quote a tradition that they had from the Erev that was built in the city of Narvona. Narvon was a city in Provence. It was one of the big Jewish communities in southern France. I don't know if it came from Narvona. Rav Moshe Darshan came from Narvona. Rashi always quotes. He was a Darshan. Rav Moshe Darshan. So he came from Narvon. So they quote from the Rishonim quote of tradition that there was apparently an old Erev that was built in the city of Narvon, and there was no Heker Tzir on that Erev. So the Rishonim were made to see that the early Rishonim in the previous generations, Paskin Lekula, and that became Apsak. So no pun intended, we're hinging on that, hanging on for dear life to the Erev in southern France in the 900s. So that's what that minig is. We assume that it doesn't require Heker Tzir. So the Mishkan Yaakov questions that minig. He says, you know, if you look at other Rishonim Paskin, that doesn't need Heker Tzir. But the Gemara can't really tell. So the Mishkan Yaakov is not so sure that the minig has been going on for the last 1,000 years is right. Says maybe we have to start making Heker Tzir on our Erevin. Again, it's getting harder and harder to build an Erev, according to Mishkan Yaakov. He said you got to tighten your fishing wire. You got to bolt down your hatches. You got to start building your hinges. You got to make a whole new structure. Because you might as well build a wall, according to Mishkan Yaakov. So, notwithstanding the Mishkan Yaakov's potential objection, the minhag has been that you don't require Heker Tzir. So we don't have to mimic a door so perfectly. But even though we pass in the Ein Tzarach Heker Tzir, the Gemara says it has to have the ability to hold the door. It doesn't have to physically, literally have hinges, but it has to have the ability, it has to be strong enough to hold the door. How strong of a door must it be able to hold? A very, very light door. It doesn't have to be able to hold a big metal door. The poles have to be strong enough to hold Lahatzik Vela Shel Kash, the lightest type of a door, a door made of a straw. Like a little three little pigs, right? So the house made of straw. So it's got to be a very, very light door, very, very easy door. So it doesn't have to be such a strong pole. But if you put up a pole that's mamish and nothing, it has no oomph to it, no strength to it whatsoever, and if you would try to put a connector to a door of a straw or something, the whole thing would just topple down, so the wolf would come and blow the whole house down, so it would be no good. That's not even a Tzuras HaPesach. So again, so it doesn't have to literally have a door. It doesn't even have to have the physical possibility in terms of a hinge to hold the door. But it has to be strong enough to, if theoretically we put a door there, that's the shear. So that's the fair shear. That's how we pass it. But it has to be able to be machzik and delish el kash. So comes the Tumas Hadeshin, and he raises the following question. What if you have something that's being used as a Tzuras HaPesach, and it itself can't really hold a delish el kash? It's very, very light, very, very flimsy. But you connect it to something else, which is not the Tzuras HaPesach proper, but once it's connected to something stronger, to a stronger background, then it will be able to hold the Del HaShokash, because even though itself is not so strong, but that which is supporting it will be able to support the Del. So let's say you have a wall over here, a big, big wall on the wall, and now you want to make a Tzuras HaPesach. Let's say you want to continue the air going this direction. So you put a Tzuras HaPesach over here. So you put a pole over here for the Tzuras HaPesach. So the pole is very, very flimsy, very, very shvacha pole. You nail it into the wall over here. If you would try to construct the Del HaShokash, connected to this pole, it would stand. Why? Not because the pole is holding it, because the pole is being supported by the walls. So the whole structure is holding the Dal Shokash. So the Chumash Sedeshin says that's okay. He says that's also considered to be a Machzik Dal Shokash, even though Biatzmusa by itself it's not, since in context where it is, it's able to hold up the door, and that's also good enough for this halacha of holding up the door. So we follow this Chumash Sedeshin all the time. So we very often put up these little flimsy, little 2x0 strips. We put up little wooden pieces, little plastic strips. So you take a little plastic strip, nail it onto a telephone pole. If that plastic strip would be freestanding and you try to connect it to a door, so the whole thing would fall. It would snap, the whole thing would break. There's nothing to it. But why is it strong? It's strong because it's nailed into the telephone pole. So the telephone pole, that's a strong piece of equipment. So the strong telephone pole would be able, if you would run a door coming out of the telephone pole, that would be good enough. The question is, how wide is this door? How big does this door have to be? So the answer is, it has to be wide enough to reach the other pole of the Terusa Pesach. So if you have, let's say, you have one pole over here, you have another pole 20 feet down, so the bigger, the wider your Terusa Pesach, the heavier your door is going to be. So a little teeny Dal Shokash is going to be that heavy if it's a small area. But once you make a very, very long Terusa Pesach, then the ability to hold up the Dal Shokash is going to be much stronger. So we sometimes have very, very long Terusa Pesachs. The Poskim say that if you have, let's say, have a telephone pole over here, and the next telephone pole is 50 feet away, so that would be okay, as long as the Terusa Pesach is pretty much going in the same direction. We didn't talk about that even yet, about changing directions. So usually what we try to do is, when we have consecutive telephone poles, we always try to put a pole, you know, our lechis at each one of them. But in theory, you don't have to do that. In theory, if you have one over here, and you have the other telephone pole 500 feet down, so there's no shear l'chara for how long the Terusa Pesach has to be. So you could put one pole over here, you're on the bottom of that telephone pole, one pole 500 feet away, and the wire is going straight over, so then, yeah, okay, that's all right. That's a very, 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 very wide Terusa Pesach. The only problem is if you reach a certain point, so then imagine the weight of such a door. Imagine, again, it's only a Dal Shokash, it's a very thin, flimsy material, but imagine if a 500-foot doorway is going to have quite a... You're not going to be able to pick up that door so quickly. So the telephone pole has to be strong enough to hold that Dal Shokash. It's a hard test, and I got to get the physics, get the engineers in here to ask that question. Lo yitzui that you were trying to support and this tremendous door, would the telephone pole stand? Maybe the telephone pole is going to topple over because it can't support such a strong, such a big, long door. So that's why we try not to make very, very, very long Terusa Pesach, because you never know, you may reach the point where the Terusa Pesach isn't really strong enough to maintain the weight of the Dal Shokash. So again, we, for other reasons, we always try to keep the Terusa Pesach as possibly small as we can, but every once in a while it's not practical. Every once in a while you have to have a really, really big break between poles, so you have to make sure that it doesn't become absurd. You have a 10,000 long Terusa Pesach, so it's going to be absurd. It's not going to be able to hold up anything. This requirement in the halacha that Terusa Pesach be able to support a door, this once again is highlighting the fact that that's the whole role of Terusa Pesach. The whole idea of Terusa Pesach is to that every wall has a doorway. You have to have a way to get in and out. So the Torah says, the Halacha Moshe Sinai says, that as a Terusa Pesach, it's good enough. What if you have the opposite? What if you have an area that is a hole, there's a break in a wall or something, and you don't have a Terusa Pesach, but you have a door? Is that good? Forget about Terusa Pesach. You have a Delis. Is that as good as a, is that maybe it's better than a Terusa Pesach? So if the door is closed, that's pretty obvious. If the door is closed, then it's a mechitza, obviously. But what if the door is open? What if you have a sliding door or something? You have a sliding gate. And the question is, and right now the gate is open. Right now the door is open. And there's a big, big break. It's a period of more than 10 amas. So what's the halacha? If you have a mechitza, and you have a tremendous opening, but that opening has a gate on it, the gate happens to be wide open right now. The question is that area by definition called closed or not? So could we suggest that if the whole idea of a Terusa Pesach is it's supposed to mimic a door, in the door golem is that? There's a real door here. So the fact that the door is open right now, it doesn't matter. I can close it. The Terusa Pesach, I can never close. There is no door here. There are no hinges here. There's nothing. It's all a figment of our imagination, so to speak. But when you have a door, In a certain sense, that's even better. So that's what the Chassam Sofer writes. Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva that if you have an area that's a big, big break, it's more than 10 amos wide, but there's a door, there's a sliding door, there's a sliding gate, that's okay. You can carry in that area. That's dino kimechitza. It's better than a tursa pesach, at least as good as a tursa pesach. So the Chazanish says, the Chazanish quotes in the Sefer in Ervin, in the Rechayim, he quotes a whole series of Chidushim from the Chassam Sofer in Uchas Ervin, and he says, the following 10 Chidushim of the Chassam Sofer are all questionable. And this is one of them. He says, who told the Chassam Sofer that a door is good? This is Halacha Moshe Messina. We're making Kavachimis, we're making Svaras. He says, if the Halacha Moshe Messina is, it has to be a Mechitza, or the Halacha Moshe Messina is, it has to be a Tzuras HaPesach. The Hechatei said that we can make up a new story. A door. Who ever heard of a door? If the door is closed, so it's a mechitza. If the door is open, it's not a mechitza. So this is a big nafkamina. This is an important shaila. We have the shailas. Very often a lot of people have, let's say, their front yard, their backyard. They want to make an old Erev around their own area. So there's no Erev in town. They don't want to rely on the Erev in town. So they want to close off their area. A lot of, you don't see this too much here, but in LA is a big thing, the gates. The gates on the, you know, the driveway. Not the way people have them, Tina, right? But even in LA, like everybody has the, when you drive in, so you press your clicker and the gate opens up and you're going, and the gate closes. So the shaila is, if you, some people like to leave that open on Shabbos. So the question is, if that gate is open on Shabbos, or sometimes you may have left it closed on Shabbos, but your kid pressed it open, or whatever it is. So now Lamaisa, the gate is open. The question is that considered to be an area that's enclosed for the purpose of Hilchos Shabbos or not? So according to the Chassam Sofer, that's Keman D'Sosom, it's as if it's closed, since it's a door, it's a gate. So even though there's no Tursa Pesach on it, by definition, that's called closed, even though the door right now is open. And the Chazanish says, L'hoi Yudvar Me'olam, that's not considered to be closed. I remember one Shabbos, we had the child in L.A., that my in-laws live in the valley, so there wasn't an Erev in town, but if we had one, I would rely on the Erev, but I used to carry in their backyard, I used to carry in the front yard, carry in the whole area, because it was totally fenced off on all sides, and the only part that was open was the gate. There was a little tiny gate for people to walk through, that was less than 10 amos, that was nothing, and then there was this big gate where the cars would come in and out. So most of the time, it was closed off, so whenever it was closed, it wasn't a problem, even according to, it was Lovud, it was like spoke, whatever it was a Lovud, it wasn't a problem, and it was closed. But every once in a while, it was open, so I don't remember if it was probably Yaakov at the time, he was a little baby, or Tova maybe, you know, one of the two, who probably patched it with the button or something, and opened up the gate. All of a sudden, Shabbos morning, the gate's wide open, and apparently the mechanism wasn't working properly, it wouldn't close. It didn't close by itself. So now he had a wide open gap in the Erev. The shaila was, if the person didn't want to rely on the town Erev, could you still carry in the front yard, in the backyard, that Shabbos? So it all boiled down to measuring. It boiled down to whether this piritza was more than 10 amos wide or not. So I remember, I didn't want to carry the tape measure to see. So either you're allowed to measure. This is for Tzorach Mitzvah. You're allowed to measure. So I did it the old-fashioned way. I went with my feet. I know my foot is about almost a foot, so 11 inches or so. So I started walking, taking step by step to measure how big the break was. If I remember correctly, it was about, according to the shirim that we were using, it was about 9 amos, 9 and a half amos. It was just shy of 10 amos. The breaks. I said, Baruch Hashem, we breathe a sigh of relief. According to the Chassam Sofer, even if it would be 20 amos, it would still be good, because the gate is ke'ilu etzasa. But even according to the Chazanish, who holds the gate is not ke'sasa, it was still good because it appeared to less than 10 amos. Even though it wasn't necessarily Omen Rumer Laparit, it was on the fourth wall. And the fourth wall, you don't even need Omen Rumer Laparit. So we were okay. By the next Shabbos, we got the gate fixed. So these shadows really do happen. So Chopanim, the role of the Tursa Pesach is supposed to mimic a door. Whether or not a door itself is even good or even better, so that's up for discussion between the Chassam Sofer and the Chazanish.